everybody. This is Julie Golub, the Julie G Podcast, and it's February. This is my second podcast, and I'm pretty excited because February means that it's the kickoff of the shooting season, for me at least. The IDPA Indoor National Championships, hosted by Smith & Wesson at the Shooting Sports Center in Springfield, Massachusetts, is about to kick off at the end of the month, and I'm really excited about this match. Because unlike a lot of other IDPA matches, this match is all indoors. That means that the stages can get really, really interesting. The stage designers have the freedom of completely making the stages all dark, or low light situations, or even full light situations. So you know that when you go to this match, you're going to need to have some night sights on your gun, you're going to need to work on your flashlight technique, and you're going to need to be ready to have some unique situations thrown at you. So it's one of the matches I really look forward to. Because this match is right around the corner, I recently dug out my IDPA gun. I've been shooting the Smith & Wesson M&P 9L with Warren Tactical fiber optic sights all last year, and of course a lot of revolver, getting ready for the Revolver Nationals and the USPSA Production Nationals, as well as the IPSC World Championships. And then I had another surprise match in December where I got to travel to Russia and had the most amazing time there shooting the Moscow Open. So I've had a lot of time with the M&P 9L. And this gun is pretty stock. Other than a sight change with the Warren Tactical sights, this gun has a stock trigger, and it breaks right around 6.5 pounds. And that's what I've been shooting for the past 4 to 5 months. So when I dug out my IDPA gun, it actually has a trigger job done by Dan Burwell of Burwell Gunsmithing, and it has night sights on it. I picked it up out of the box and dry fired it a couple times, and I went, "Whoa, wow!" So there's a big difference between a 3.5 pound trigger and a 6 pound trigger. So I'm definitely going to have to spend some time with this gun and make sure I get the timing down for this new trigger before I end up shooting it in the match. I do really think there's a lot of value to shooting difficult or heavier triggers during some point in your season. If you find that you're in a slump or you're having problems with your trigger control, switching up to a revolver or a heavier striker-fired or double-action trigger is really going to help you hone those trigger control skills. You don't really think much of it when you have a really light trigger or even, you know, a standard trigger. My M&Ps for competition usually have anywhere from 3, that's the lightest, to 4, that's the heaviest pound triggers. That's the way I like them. I don't like super light triggers because I really want to know that they're going to go bang every time, and I don't want to have any issues with that in a match. Going into the IDPA Indoor Nationals, I think that is a significant advantage because in a lot of IDPA matches, you'll find that there are pickup guns, and pickup guns tend to be stock guns. Pretty common to see something like an M&P Compact or a Smith & Wesson Snubby. And when you have that kind of a pickup gun, knowing that you have confidence with a heavier trigger, you're just one step ahead of the competition. The feedback from my first podcast was super helpful, and I want to thank everybody for sending me emails or messages. And it also gave me a good idea to do a little bit of a Q&A for future podcasts, and so here we go.
Your questions answered.
One of the questions I received in an email was, what is one of your favorite hobbies other than shooting? I spend a lot of my time thinking about shooting and promoting shooting sports and that sort of thing. But one thing that I really, really love, and a lot of you may know this if you follow my blog, is cooking. And I do a fun little thing called Field to Fork. And it's basically my trials and tribulations as a at-home cook, whipping up some recipes for my honey for our game that we have harvested throughout the year. And I've had some fun stuff. I've done some crazy stuff. But I really enjoy cooking, and I really enjoy taking the food that we have harvested here in Montana and other places and making excellent meals out of it. I'm a foodie at heart, so it's a lot of joy and a lot of pride for me to be able to provide some really good, unique food out here in Montana, where we don't have a ton of restaurant choices. Another really common question I receive in emails and Facebook messages and private messages through Twitter is how do you become a sponsored shooter? And that's a really, really good question, and it's probably something that I could talk to you for hours on. But it gave me the idea to maybe mention some tips and some suggestions for how to become a sponsored shooter here on this podcast. So the first thing I'm going to start out with, if you're considering making shooting a career or want to explore the wonderful world of becoming a pro shooter, is first and foremost, get organized. What do I mean by getting organized? Well, first and foremost is knowing what your stats are. Anybody that you approach, you're probably going to be talking to the marketing executive or someone who specifically handles shooting teams. And they're going to want to know your stats. They're going to want to know just what your statistics are, whether you've won any matches, whether you show potential, if you've shown growth, if you're just really kind of out there. Knowing where you stand against the competition is going to be critical. Now, that's not to say you have to be winning national championships to get sponsored. That may not be a company's agenda. They may not be looking for that sort of person to represent their product. But you still should know your stats. And having them organized in a spreadsheet or even a Word document or what have you is going to be very, very helpful. There are plenty of tools out there that will help you record your statistics. There's a site called rangelog.com. You can access Excel or Pages on your computer to create a spreadsheet. There's even more advanced programs like Bento that actually use a database. It's all up to you. What sort of things should you record in your stats? The date, the match name, the location, any sort of score or time, however the event is basically scored. You'll also want to include your placement overall, your place in your division, your special category, your classification, any sort of information that's going to be helpful to evaluate your progress. One, you can use this as a tool for yourself, and two, to be able to give that to whoever you're asking money or product from is going to be helpful. The other nice thing about having this information in a spreadsheet or in some sort of format that you can print off is if you approach somebody who is potentially a sponsor and they ask you, you know, how well you perform in a match, you can say, "Well, I prepared this information for you. I prepared an Excel spreadsheet for you to look at my statistics and my results." And it makes you look very organized. It makes you look very professional. And it's also a way to toot your own horn without sounding very, very arrogant. You look like you're taking this very seriously. And if there's one thing that I've noticed about shooters that end up being promoted and sponsored is that they're very serious about representing companies and themselves in a professional manner. So that's a wrap. I've rambled on for about 10 minutes or so. This podcast has been a little bit longer. I hope you enjoy it. And I'll be continuing on with some more how to become a sponsored shooter tips in my next podcast. And I'll give you an update on how well the match in Springfield went, the Smith & Wesson IDPA Indoor Nationals. So until then, be safe and have fun.